Now, the question is, who benefits the most? And I think this is the interesting issue, which is clearly germline patients benefited, no doubt. We pretty much expected that. The somatic mutations behaved like the germline. This is now the second data that tells us this. The aerial studies using rucaparib had also revealed this. And this is very important because we now know the patient has a mutation in the tumor, but not in their germline. They're still going to benefit. But the third part was really interesting, which is when they took this HRD group that was measured by their tool, they benefited less than the other groups, but they still benefited. But if you took out all of those patients and you were left with the final group, normal BRCA status, no HRD based on a tool, they even benefited. In fact, it has a ratio of 0.58 with a p-value of 0.02. Now, you could argue a little bit about the p-value, but they're still benefiting. So I think it's a great study. My prediction is they're going to go forward for FDA registration, I think, for all patients, for everyone, and probably not use their genomic tool. But we'll see. It also tells me a second thing, which is although we think we're really smart and we understand the science and the genomics, the truth is we don't really quite get it yet. Their HRD tool probably is not as accurate as, well, we know it's not as accurate as it should be, and that's partly because we still don't quite understand what causes homologous recombination defects in these tumors.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were talking earlier about the fact that 25% of the patients in the survey never had BRCA germline testing, but of course there are family implications to that. But beyond that, I was wondering whether if you're going to use the PARP inhibitor anyhow, whether that's going to change. If it turns out, as you are guessing or thinking might happen, that you're going to use PARP inhibitors regardless of HRD or BRCA, yes, you might want to know BRCA for other reasons, but therapeutically, maybe you won't need to use it.
Yeah. It's possible. I'd be disappointed if that happened, but it may in certain circumstances, because I think, as you point out, family issues are going to be incredibly important for that patient population. But the second issue is we might give PARP to everybody. We still know HRD status, certainly BRCA1/2 mutation, is a very strong prognostic factor. And that's something I like to tell my patients, say, you know, look, you've got this mutation. It's not great news for your family, but we know how to handle this. But also recognize your tumor is going to be exquisitely sensitive to chemotherapy. A lot of BRCA tumors and the patients undergo 6, 7, 8, 9 cycles of different things with complete responses because these tumors are on the edge of dying because of their DNA repair abnormality. You just need to push them over.
Yeah, in a weird way, I was kind of thinking maybe it's going to evolve the way PD-1 is in checkpoint inhibitors in lung cancer. You know, at the same ESMO meeting, there was the big first-line study in patients with high PD-1s, and maybe we'll end up using BRCA and HRD in ovarian cancer to figure out clinically when to use it. Do you think that, I guess the initial approval is going to be, this was in platinum-sensitive recurrence?
Correct.